following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you for streaming, downloading, tuning in, whatever it is that you do. You might receive this by carrier pigeon, for all we know. It's episode 317, yeah, here on this 8th day of March of 2020. Date of production. Yes, that's a thing. That's what's going on. There's a lot I'm going to get into today. There's a few things. Sometimes, you know, when you work in this line of work, you wonder, hey, what are we going to get into? I'm going to live up to what I said last week about, you know, some of you folks being a little too tightly wound, because there is that. because it's true. There's a lot of people that are just, you know, a little tightly wound. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Been out and about most of last week and into the weekend, you know, just doing my thing, you know, running errands, finding yourself in places and driving down the road and whatnot. And I got to tell you, and I've always wanted to talk about this for a minute, but and it's not really worth devoting a whole show to it by any means. And it's an unpopular thought because it sort of shows up in this program, usually at the end, but I'm putting it up at the beginning this time. And I'll tell you why. I tell you why. I think this is important. I have an issue with Girl Scouts and their cookies. Seriously, this is a thing. These little hucksters, they set up outside of stores and whatnot, like outside the grocery store, and they're just, you know, right there. They got you. You coming in and going. I want some Girl Scout cookies. Hey, we got cookies. Come get you. And, you know, and you're going, no, I don't, because I'm one of those people. Enter the unpopular thought. I don't think Girl Scout cookies are all that good. It's just, it's not a just me thing. I mean, they're, let's be honest here. They're kind of overpriced and they're not that good. I know somebody's going, oh, sacrilege. Oh my God. How could you say such things? Well, it's true. You know, I know there's only like a couple of companies that make them, and they hook them up. They hook up these little soon to be entrepreneurs trying to hawk the cookie and, you know, make a buck or two. And that's just it too. There's something sneaky going on here. I mean, look, I get it. It's a fundraiser and it goes to charity of some sort. And it's a great program for young ladies to get into and to do the thing. Don't get me wrong. I don't have a problem with the Girl Scouts. It's the issue is their goddamn cookies are not that good. I make no apologies. And their sales tactics can be a bit much because there's this really weird screwed up incentive program that these girls have to undergo.
Well, you're never going to get that inflatable mattress if you don't sell enough cookies.
So it becomes this weird guilty type of thing where they just kind of guilt you into the whole thing. And I don't approve of that. Plus, I question, and I think this is, and I'm not looking it up. I'm going to save that for you people to do your own homework. Or if you've got a problem, you can send me an angry email or whatever you want to do. My issue here is that I'm wondering just how much of the money they raise goes back into the local troop. I mean, after all, it is a viable argument, isn't it? I mean, you look at some of the other charity things out there like the Red Cross and how much money those CEOs and stuff make. You wonder, you know, if they're going to send those little girls out there, you know, to shake you down for some damn cookie money. You wonder if there is, you know, if it's worth their effort. I guess it is to a certain extent, but, you know, I don't know. My opinion, love the Girl Scouts, not a big fan of the cookies. I don't know. And if somebody brought a box of cookies to me, I mean, I don't know that I'd turn them down per se, but it's not like I'm out there seeking them out either. You know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, you get a craving for certain things and you go, you know, hey, I happen to be at the store. I'm going to pick some, you know, like some Fig Newtons. I like a good Fig Newton. Otis Spunkmeyer chocolate chip cookie. Pretty good stuff right there. Hell, the Chips Ahoy. There you go. Now you're talking some chocolate chip cookies. The Nutter Butter with the quote unquote peanut butter that's in there is well, for whatever it is, it could be lubricant on the industrial scale for all we know, but it's still pretty tasty. I don't know. That's just how I feel about these things. I can hear the angry emails coming as it is. Fine, shoot me a line. I don't care. We'll pause. Coming up, stuff. What do we got here? We got our thing. What we're going to get into about you folks. Some of you folks, not all of you, but some of you folks are being a little tightly wound. And yes, it is all about COVID-19 because that is everywhere and there is more to discuss. And we'll get to that coming up out of this little brief break right here from Radioland.
Keep calm and haunt on with Historical Haunts, Memphis Haunted Tour Company, ancient burial mounds, yellow fever, maritime disasters, Victorian murders, and ghost stories are all a part of the Memphis dark history. Join Historical Haunts for a spirited night out on the Haunted Memphis Bus Tour, Haunted Pub Crawl, the Woodruff Fontaine House Ghost Tour, or one of our other spooky tours and events. Check out our website for all of the exciting ghost tours and ghost haunts at historicalhauntsmemphis.com.
It's all over the news. It's everywhere. Can't escape it. COVID-19, the novel coronavirus, if you will. The Wu-Tang virus, the Kung Flu, as some are calling it. It's everywhere. LJ and I, Friday on the morning show, we were trying to avoid it. And you can't. It's everywhere. And it just came out today, the 8th day of March, that here in Memphis and in Shelby County, there is a patient that has been confirmed, that has been diagnosed with the COVID-19 coronavirus, novel coronavirus illness. This individual, we don't know who it is or what, I don't need to, that's private information, that's fine. They're trying to figure out if this person, they do know, they did say this person did not travel outside the U.S., but did travel outside the state and went somewhere and I guess got it into contact, came home, and there it is. Now they're trying to figure out, at least as of the recording of this program, they're trying to figure out who all this individual had been in contact with. Where did they go? What store did they go to? This is one of the scary things about this disease is that you can have it for like up to like 14 days and not showing any symptoms and you feel fine. Everything's great until it starts to really creep up on you. But you're like doing your thing. You're living your life. You're going to the grocery store. You're going to the gas station. You're at a sandwich joint getting to get you a bite to eat. You're at a restaurant. You don't know. Think about all of the people that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. And it quickly becomes apparent how quickly something like this can spread. Thus, the not necessarily the panic. I know there's some of that out there we'll get to. And there's a bit of fear, and everybody's keeping a casting a wary on it. Hell, we're talking about it on this program. Some of the issues that's going on now is because it's the American way, it's been politicized, which, you know, that should not have been an issue, but it has. And you've got the Centers for Disease Control who are trying to warn people. One such warning that they did get out, but it was under a lot of scrutiny, was that they were trying to tell people to limit their visits to nursing homes because those residents of nursing homes are particularly more vulnerable to this disease, this illness, this sickness. And that can become a problem. And it spreads through a nursing home. You've wiped out everybody in the house. And it's a thing. Well, they tried to get this information out. And they also said that people over the age of, I think it was like 60 or something like that, should not be getting on airplanes for the foreseeable future. Just avoid any air travel. That would be kind of groovy. Well, the White House came in and squashed that report. And the Associated Press leaked it and said, hey, check this out. And that is wrong. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. It's the fact that happened. I'm not sure why it needs to be politicized at the very least. You know, they sit there and they go, well, no one dies from this, or the death numbers are really low. I'm no expert. I'm certainly no doctor, although I slept pretty good last night. The idea here is that if one person dies, doesn't that make it deadly? It's just me. Now, I'm not here to incite any panic. I'm not here to incite any fear. We got enough of that as it is. You don't need my help and all that, which is fine. But I will tell you, there are some basic things that I can help spread forward that could help you deal with this sort of thing if it's in your mind. A couple of basic things. Wash your hands about 5-6 times a day. Every just when you're touching something, go wash your hands. Hand sanitizer, it's nothing better than just plain old soap and water. Just get down, get busy, and, you know, do it for at least 20 seconds. You know, count backwards from 20 down to 1. Not quickly, but, you know, like seconds. Keep a clock handy. Just do whatever. Sing a song. Whatever it is that you got to do, wash your hands and use hot water or warm water. You know, not hot water, but warm water. And use soap. Now, it's odd that we're having this discussion because you would think, minus a pandemic, you would be already washing your hands as it is. But we all know what kind of people are out there that walk amongst us. So, yes, wash your hands. Second thing also, they tell you not to try not to touch your face. That's kind of hard to do. We all carry a phone. And because of that, we're all touching our faces. It's just the way it goes. So, you know, be careful with that. Also, masks, they do nothing for you. So don't even get involved in all that. The surgical masks and stuff that they need in the hospitals are having a hard time keeping those in stock because there's all this panic buying that's going on. And it's, you know, that's the way it goes. Now, that's it. That's basically all you need to do. And if you feel like you're coming down with something, clearly call your doctor if you got one. Don't jam up the emergency room. That's just going to create even more panic and possibly even spread it to even more vulnerable people. Self-quarantine seems to be the way to go. You can stay at home. You can call a doctor. They'll talk you through it. There's no cure for this thing. I know that sounds alarming when you hear that there's no cure for this. If you're in relatively decent health, you stand a pretty good chance. Boy, it sounds bad. I know. You stand a really good chance of beating the thing. And there's a lot of people that do. So, you know, it's most. I mean, the mortality rate on this is like 3%, I guess, depending on how much. See, that's a whole other thing, too, because not everybody's getting tested. And you can't develop the clear picture on the mortality rate until you get a proper baseline. And it's, the CDC is getting their hands, whatever. It's become a bit of a problem. So, because a lot of us are left in the dark about this, there is that fear. There's that panic that can be set in. And people are getting really, really worked up. On one side of the political aisle, they're saying, well, the Democrats want a million people to die so they can make the president look bad. Which is a ridiculous statement. He doesn't need any help making himself look bad, my opinion, of course. You don't need the virus to make that happen. That's just the thing. That's what's going on. The virus is going to happen. It didn't matter who was sitting in the White House. It's just what this was. It's our response to it. That's what's important, isn't it? Right? So we need to just relax. Now, in other parts of the world where there are some serious things going on, there are big drastic steps that are being taken, and it is causing a bit of fear. In Italy, for example, just today, Italy has ordered massive shutdowns. Cruise ships are becoming a petri dish of sorts. There's a brand 16 million people are quarantined in Italy, by the way, before I move on. It's also shown up in the Vatican. And you know how big the Vatican is. So somewhere they got the Pope stashed in a bunker somewhere. They probably got him in a big rubber suit. Probably not his first time. But that's what's going on. Travel in and around is trying to be restricted, even though the government is telling you, oh, go ahead and get travel. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't recommend that. And certainly no cruise ships, because that's just, there's just today, another cruise ship, a second cruise ship now, this one off the coast of South Florida, has two confirmed cases of coronavirus from members of the crew. Well, this presents an interesting problem because crew members tend to, you know, deal with the passengers. They could have been spreading this for a while, and now they got it. Great. The state of Florida is saying, nope, not going to dock it here. Same thing on the other side of the country, over on the Pacific side. There's the the Crown Princess or whatever it is. There's dead people on that boat, and there are those that are sick, and they were trying to get into San Francisco, and San Francisco's saying, no, you're not bringing that here. Now they've apparently got the okay to dock in Oakland, but they've got to do it, I think it's like on Wednesday or Thursday. So they're just still hanging around waiting for all that. What a nightmare that must be. Can you imagine being on a cruise ship with this is going on? And look, those of you who are sitting there going, well, I don't see the big deal because, you know, get all you can eat buffet and you got the bar and all that stuff. Nah, dude, you're confined to your cabin. And imagine this, most of the cabins, a good number of the cabins, I should say, on some of these boats have no windows. So if you want to sit in that box for however many weeks while people are coughing and horking up pieces of their lungs because they're on a cruise ship and everybody got sick, this is a problem. You couldn't pay me to be on a cruise ship right now, seriously. But I mean, I just the absolute nightmare scenario that this is. What they've been doing, crew members have been delivering food to the staterooms, right, on trays. They set it at the door and they knock on the door and leave. They tell you not to open the door for a few seconds until after dude gets on down the hall because he doesn't want to get sick. Oh, what a nightmare that. Oh, this is gross. So, you know, you're down the way, I think you're going to see, I would think you're going to see probably a bit of damage done to the cruise tour industry because people are going to be a little more nervous about these kinds of things. But then again, we're also dealing with Americans who feel like, once it passes, it'll be okay. Because there's some people out there that do believe that this is really nothing more than just a case of the flu. Symptoms sort of appear to be the same, which is fine. It is the flu. It is partly. But if the flu were to allow your lungs to fill up with fluid and you slowly drown to death in your own juices, then it doesn't really, is it really the flu now, is it? It's a member of the coronavirus family, but there it is. By that statement alone, by that rather shocking and alarming description of what this is about, is also going to generate a lot of panic from people because they tend to freak out. And the first thing they freak out is, well, it's not going to affect me none. I'm going to do what I've been told to do. It's safe for me to travel, get on my cruise ship and go. I'm going to be at the all-you-can-eat taco bar up on the Lido deck. Why they don't put it on the poop deck is beyond me, but that's just a thing. Another little bit of advice. If you're feeling sick, don't go to work. Will you please? Especially those of you in the restaurant industry or the hospitality industry. Let's just go that far. Far too often I have heard stories after stories after stories of people who run restaurants. Somebody's not feeling good and they go, well, we need you to come in anyway. Look, I don't care what kind of a restaurant you claim to have operating. But if you're like, I think you need to come in anyway because you get anybody to cover your shift. And yet there's some barfy kid that's waiting tables. No. it doesn't take an epidemiologist to figure out just how dangerous that could possibly be. So keep your ass at home. It's ridiculous. What happens if there's going to be self-quarantine? What happens? Found out here locally. I will leave the source out of this anonymous because I don't want to get anybody in any trouble. But apparently some emails have been circulating amongst school districts here in Memphis. Pardon me, the Memphis area, Memphis Independent School District, Shelby County School, whatever it is. And I can't keep up with it. To students and parents about what to expect should things get a little more accelerated. And they were talking about going into attending class online. It's reasonable. Safer. At least nobody will get shot. But there's this idea that they could send, you know, just keep people from coming to the schools and just do your work at home. There are a lot of companies out there, a lot of businesses that are able to do that as well. I have another friend who is in the business of the federal government who for up until last week was working from home 3 days a week because that's what they wanted them to do. And now with all of this coming out, they don't want that to look bad. So now they're forcing all of those people that were working from home to get your ass back into the office. And the particular job that my friend has deals with the public on the general scale. So yeah, there's some nervousness that's going on over there, and a lot of it's for just vanity for the president, and that's what this is. It's unfortunate, but that's dangerous, very dangerous. Oh, no one's really gonna die from. We got it 100% contained. No, they don't. No, it's. I knew it was gonna. I think I said it to my wife last week. I said, mark my words, by the end of the week, the end of this next week, there's going to the coronavirus will be in Memphis. And I got it right within a day, but I got it right. How about that? And people are getting really wound up about these sorts of things because of the politicization of it. Why it even has to be politics driven, I have no idea, but it is. And it shouldn't be that way. It's like what we were talking about before. Garth Brooks goes to Detroit. He goes to play a show in Michigan for all of his fans, and he does what he usually does. When he steps on stage, he's wearing a shirt, usually a sports jersey of some sort, of one of their local heroes. And in this particular case, it was the number 20 jersey from the Detroit Lions back when a gentleman by the name of Barry Sanders wore that as a running back for the Detroit Lions. Barry was tremendous. Watching that man run down a field was incredible. And part of the issue that happened was these fans, who were mostly conservative-based, saw on the back of his jersey the word Sanders, saw that it was the number 20 to extrapolate that it's the year 2020, and not realizing that it was about Barry Sanders, they accused Garth Brooks of being a Bernie Sanders fan. And they took to the social media with great vigor and anger. Boy, howdy. And, you know, we're going to burn up all your records. We're never going to go to your shows ever again. And because you're a communist or you're a socialist. Oh, shut the fuck up. Because that's not what it was. People are looking for a reason to be upset about something. People are looking for something to be. This is this manufactured outrage. LJ and I talk about that a lot over on the morning show at radio-memphis.com, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. weekdays. That's a nice plug. Subtle, I know. But still, manufactured outrage is a thing. But here we are in the midst of facing an interesting medical situation, a medical crisis, if you will. And we've got a pandemic on our hands of sorts. You know, granted, it's not a death sentence if you catch the thing, but still, I mean, it's like I said, if it kills one person, it makes it deadly, don't you think? But here we are, and there's no outrage. It's just strange. There's no, you know, people in the back row raising their hands going, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are you going to save us? Protect us. Do what we can. How are we going to get tested? What are we going to do for a vaccine? There's no vaccine. What do we do for treatment? I don't know. Drink a lot of water. What do we do? Not panic. But there's no outrage. I'm not seeing it. But boy, howdy. A less than stellar country artist puts on a shirt and plays a show and is completely misunderstood by the audience. And now this guy's the bad guy. And the outrage is just from the rafters. Man, people are funny. You know, they just, I don't understand it. But that's, you know, that's why I sit here and I shine a light on such matters, because it's important that we understand that no matter what it takes, there's always going to be somebody who's going to disagree with anything that's being said. Always. 99.99% of people in the scientific community understand that climate change is a very real thing. And they also agree that it was man-made. And yet there are people out there who say, no, it's not. We want to have our filth. We want to live in our dirt. We want to live in a place that's going to be nasty and inhospitable. We want this. There's always going to be that. There's always going to be a number of people who will always believe that no matter what they think, it's always correct. They're not willing to step back for a moment and go, wait a minute, maybe we made a mistake here. Let's see what we can do to, you know, change course and do what's prudent or do what's right or do what we can. And I think we're facing that here in just a bit. Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's an astrophysicist, he's a scientist, but he's not an epidemiologist. He's certainly not a virologist. But he did say, in regards to the coronavirus, that he felt that right now we're all in the middle of a really interesting experiment. And that experiment is this. How far now are we going to allow our trust? Are you finally going to trust a scientist? Are you finally going to trust a doctor? Or are you going to trust somebody who's not but claims that they have that inside knowledge? Viable question. It's what it is. Nothing to it. Such as it is, right? Wash your damn hands, okay? We'll be right back.
Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
There's another interesting side effect about the thing with the coronavirus. Because, you know, clearly it's here to stay and we're here to talk about it for a minute. But look at it this way. If we're all in like in some type of quarantine situation, if we're all having to be stuck at home, would that really be all that bad? Oh, I think I'm coming down with it now. But here's the idea. If you can work from home, why not? I mean, I did it. I ran a radio station out of the house for a long time. Yeah, I was glad to get it out of here, but still, it could be done again. And yeah, not that I'd want to, but I could sit here and do shows like this, or probably do them a little more frequently, and you know, maybe get some stuff on the air from here because I can do that. But think about it. Think about how the stock markets are hurting and stuff. But you know what's really going to go up? You know what's really going to go really well? Advertisement. Why is that? Everybody's going to be stinking bored. They may be horking up a lung, but they're going to be at least sitting at the house watching TV.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Right, you heard what's coming up next time on the program. Coming up tonight on the Booze and Blues show at radio-memphis.com at 8 p.m. Central Time, we've got for you a really cool show. It's a very sweet show. It's a bit bittersweet as well. Our friend Howard Grimes is bringing with him the Wiggins brothers, that Spencer and Percy Wiggins. These were gentlemen who were big singers during the early soul days and a lot of gospel work. They're going to be coming into the studio tonight to have a chat. We're going to play some of their music. It'll be fun. It'll be nice and fairly early night too, because I know one of these gentlemen's getting up there. We'll keep him up past his bedtime. So anyway, that's tonight, 8 p.m. Central. If you happen to catch this program, which you're listening to now before 8 p.m., you can find us tonight at radio-memphis.com on any device. Tune in and enjoy the fun. Right. Speaking of time. We went into daylight savings, didn't we? We're now we are here in Memphis. We're in central daylight time. A lot of states, I guess, are already in their daylight time zones, and such as it is, there's some that just don't change at all. And I tell you, when I got up, long story, but I was playing a video game last night, and I wound up going to bed at 4 a.m. this morning, because I thought, you know, I'll stay up a little bit, but I'm not going to, you know, no, I was up till 4 a.m. And that's after the time change, mind you, which I guess technically would have been more like about 3, but still, I was up at my usual time. And then that's when I just felt a little, okay, this is going to be interesting. So, yeah, I wish we could just stay at this. We should just stay in daylight time and just leave it be. This should be the last time we do it. If the president wants to win over some fans, let's just say, from here on out, we're just going to be daylight time zone, and we're not going to ever change from here. The sun's going to go up and down at whatever time it happens because, you know, movements of the universe and stuff. Well, what am I thinking? These people don't believe in science. That's out of control. That's nuts. All right, kids, that's it. I'm done. I'm out of here. I got places to go, things to do, and some trouble to start. Look, watch your wallet with those Girl Scouts. Those little bitches will take, they'll take every nickel you got for those cookies. You know that, don't you? Just watch your ass, right? Lord have mercy. In the meantime, please take care of yourselves, take care of one another. For God's sake, stop shooting each other, all right? And look after your neighbor, okay? Until next time, I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.